Now let's get to the shooters in San Bernardino who are being described as longtime radicals by federal investigators. Both Syed Rizwan Farooq and his wife Tashmin Malik had been planning for a deadly attack for months, investigators say now. They went to target ranges to practice shooting in the days leading up to the attacks. When the married couple were shot and killed by police last week, they were found to have two AR-15 assault rifles, 2,500 rounds of rifle ammunition on them. Their apartment revealed bomb-making equipment and more weapons. Last August, three North Carolina men were arrested and charged with weapons violations in Gaston County near Charlotte. The men were allegedly stockpiling weapons and bombs in preparation for a battle with the U.S. government they believed was imminent. They had long-range rifles, handheld radios, Kevlar helmets, and vests. How do the feds regard people who, over time, collect large amounts of firepower? Laws vary from state to state on the issue of stockpiling. Michael Sullivan was director of the ATF, or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, from 2006 to 2009. He joins me now. Michael, what is this stockpiling issue here? Is it precise?
No, I don't think it's precise at all, John. The federal government essentially doesn't look at the number of weapons that somebody is purchasing lawfully and using legally. But obviously, if they uncover during the course of an investigation a conspiracy to do harm, whether that's the more traditional violent crime or, in this particular case, an act of terrorism against the United States, then they take steps to try to prevent that from happening.
Is there a trigger, a threshold, an amount of weapons that you can get, a trigger which allows investigators to pay attention to what's being bought at commercial outlets?
No, I think that would be extremely arbitrary in and of itself. And, you know, though for some people it may sound like it's enhancing public safety, it would really do very little to do that. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, almost 100% of the people that have multiple firearms have no intent to use those firearms illegally or in any acts of terrorism. So the thought of targeting 100% of the people to find that proverbial needle in the haystack seems to me to be a wasted effort and tremendous resources that candidly should be used in other ways to try to prevent, you know, the horrific acts that happened out in California.
Well, ATF and FBI didn't think it was wasted effort to go after these North Carolina men in August. I'm wondering what the distinction would be between them and their stockpiling and what happened in San Bernardino.
Well, I think the difference there are the facts. I mean, the ATF and the FBI essentially learned of a conspiracy in advance of the party's ability to essentially accomplish that. And law enforcement attempts to prevent incidences from happening. Likewise, had they learned during the course of any type of intelligence gathering that the Farids posed a serious threat to others, they would have intervened in a much earlier stage. But the fact that they had a couple of handguns and a couple of long guns in and of itself is no indication at all that any type of violent crime is going to occur. In fact, again, almost 100% of the people that have a firearm or have multiple firearms that have purchased them legally have no intent to use them for the purpose of a criminal act.
Understood. The presence of the firearms themselves is not the indication of a criminal act. But what constitutes a conspiracy? You said the Farines, it's the Farooqs, Syed Rizwan Farooq
and his wife,
Tashfeen Malik. What would constitute a conspiracy? Talking at a shooting range? What sort of thing would constitute a conspiracy?
Well, certainly I would imagine if the a law enforcement agency or if a private citizen overheard conversations that appeared that somebody was planning such a violent act, against the United States in terms of a terrorist incident or a criminal act in terms of the other organizations, that they would open up a criminal case and identify ways to intervene long before the events unfolded. As I understand it, Syed Farooq purchased two of the handguns legally. I mean, there's a question about the long guns as to whether or not they were purchased legally. If the federal government learned during the course of either intelligence gathering that may have come as a result of looking at Tashmin, you know, prior to coming into the country or while she was here, if they had that information, you know, they could have used that to open up a criminal case, you know, and likely prevented it. I mean, that's the purpose of the intelligence gathering, is to see whether you can prevent such a horrific act.
Finally, and we've got to go in a moment here, but you go on the internet, right, and see these sites that talk about plots against the U.S. government and they're going to take over and we have to arm up and get ready for the end of days. Does that worry you about conspiracies? And are Muslims and radicalized Muslims like these people in San Bernardino invited to do the same sorts of things?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think you could suggest that an internet posting of somebody that does not have confidence that their Second Amendment constitutional rights are going to continue to be protected by this government as some future government in the United States essentially, you know, motivates, you know, somebody who's been radicalized in terms of, you know, their particular faith to do such a horrific act. I see them as mutually exclusive.
Michael Sullivan is acting director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives from 2006 to 2009, currently an attorney with the Ashcroft Law Firm. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks, John.